Good morning. Welcome to the roundtable and to our roundtable panel for this Friday, the 22nd of April. Let me introduce our panel to you, then we'll get right to the topics for today. WAMC's Alan Chartok here. Good morning, Alan. How are you, sir?
Good morning.
Good morning to you. Writer, activist Barbara Smith is with us. Good morning.
Good morning. I have a question. Does it make any difference that that light is not on?
Yeah, it does make a difference. but we're working on it.
Okay.
Just so everybody out there knows what we're talking about, there's a light that indicates when we're on the air and when we're not. It is not on right now.
Now, I will say, Barbara, we did not notice that. We noticed that the one outside wasn't working, but we did notice that the one in here was not working.
Ray got really teed off because I walked in here.
I think your mic is off.
Why is my mic off?
Because your arm is on the button.
Now what do I do?
See, that's why placement is very important. Okay, so Rosemary Armeo, head of the journalism department at UAlbany.
Not a department, program.
A program, I apologize.
Department, program, what's the difference?
I didn't.
Okay. Resources.
I was just going to say
dollars.
Who cares?
Program. Good morning, welcome.
Thank you very much for having us. As if we pay attention to that on air light even when it's on.
Well, that's true. Yes.
No, we actually do.
I actually pay attention to
me
it.
Too. Yeah.
But we talk over you when that happens. The rest of us are just.
Roundtable at WAMC.org if you would like to join in on our conversation. We were listening to the music of Prince coming in. Prince passed away yesterday in Minnesota at the age of 57. And I will say that yesterday when the news came down, we were as it sort of quickly filtered throughout the newsroom, we're like, not that. But a sad occurrence, especially, I mean, anyone 57 taking
I was reacting, and my mother said, "Are you going to mourn that much when I go?"
Yeah, because
it affects you. No, Americans actually are a little unique in that people we don't actually know, we just know of, react strongly when my Bosnian friends are just crazy about that. Like, did you know him? Why are you so sad?
So they wouldn't for example, go to the home and drop off flowers.
Yeah, the pilgrimage. They're very, very. That's odd American behavior.
Well, the British did that and do that
for Diana.
So I don't know. When I think about Bosnia, I think about all the horror that they have experienced and how they really have to put things into
a perspective.
That's a very good point.
Indeed. But I mean, I think everybody felt like they knew him.
Absolutely. And I think for those of us at a certain age, i.e. coming of age in the 70s or 80s, that was the soundtrack, right? I mean, that was pretty much. And then he remained extremely relevant up until his death.
There was a lovely tweet, or a lot of them, but one that I liked was that you're not sorry because you knew him and he's gone. You're sorry because his music helped you to know yourself better.
Oh, that's beautiful.
And that's what Prince did. Isn't that cool?
That's beautiful.
It is beautiful. Mm-hmm. I heard a number of tributes over the last several hours that I thought were beautiful. Stevie Wonder was on. With Anderson Cooper last night and was very choked up, couldn't even, had trouble finding the composure. And it obviously they were good friends, and Stevie Wonder was a great influence to Prince. But it's, for those of you, just the details of the death were that he died at 57 yesterday. They found him. There was a 9/11 call early in the morning. They found him in an elevator of his estate in Minnesota. And then the backstory is that a week prior he had to cancel some shows because of flu-like symptoms, according to his spokesperson. And then he did a show in Atlanta. He was coming back from that show. The show went fine. He came back from that show and he had to make an emergency landing in Illinois to receive care, went to the hospital for several hours, received care for, again, these flu-like symptoms and dehydration, and then went back on the plane, flew back, and then was seen, I believe, two or three times later and then passed away.
He actually had a party last weekend.
Yes.
And I did not know all these details about where, you know, his, what was it called, the Purple Palace?
Yeah, the
where,
Paisley Palace.
Paisley Palace, yes. Yeah. Purple, an honest mistake.
Yeah, I think it probably is the Purple Paisley Palace, but yes.
But
too
any,
much alliterations from anxious anchors.
Right, but in any event, that he, you know, that he was very visible in the city of Minneapolis, and that he had announced that he was having a party last Saturday, and that the admission price was $10, and a lot of people just came. He,
that's
you know,
cool.
And he was. I think he said, "You don't need to pray for me quite yet, or hold your prayers."
Yes, because people were concerned about his health.
Yeah.
I also loved him because he was 5'2", and despite that, sexy as hell. And a great athlete. He did gender bending when it was way before it was as cool as it is now, including the symbol that he used for a while as his name, which is a combination and intertwining of male and female. I think he was immensely great. I'm sorry that we lost him. The good ones go early.
Yeah, and one of the things, of course, that a lot of people have been talking about is that who we have lost so far this year, but David Bowie and these other musical,
Merle Haggard
and really some just giants that that have
I commented
that
soon. Bruce Springsteen and maybe all of the Rolling Stone needs to get to the doctors right away.
Just get the checkup, make sure they're all right.
You could not survive if they were.
Yeah, it's like it's like avian flu among musicians or something.
Well,
you know,
I was getting ready to say we. I'm not a musician, but I'm definitely long in the tooth. But the thing is that, you know, our heroes and idols, they're getting up in age, you know.
The other thing, too, is I've heard, I mean, there have been little things, but there was never, like, any real scandal.
That's exactly what I was thinking about.
You know,
him.
There was never any. He was just a guy who worked really, really hard.
And who was a genius.
Who was a genius. I mean, we have to point out that those first albums that he did,
oh my God.
He played every single solitary instrument, every voice, every noise, every sound you heard was him.
There's a YouTube clip going around because, unhappily, of his death, of Guitar Gently Weeping. And it's got all the big. Tom Petty is in it. Steve Winwood.
The 2004
and then,
Hall of Fame induction.
And then at 3.5 minutes in, Prince comes out. And he's got a red hat and red jacket, of course. And he just owns the stage. It is such masterful guitar playing. Oh, my God.
Right. They talked about that in one of the several articles I read. I read more than
what was provided
right,
to
indeed,
you.
Right, yeah. Indeed.
And the other thing, too, was the Super Bowl halftime show. Of a number of years ago that was said to be one of the best ever.
And it was pouring rain, as he sang, Purple Rain.
And who was it? Don Mishner, who was the producer of that, called him up and he said, "I have bad news, Prince. It's going to be raining, and I don't know what you want to do."
He could have killed himself falling with a mob.
And
God.
Prince said to him, See if we can all pray so it rains harder." Isn't that a great response? It's like that works.
People talked about how enigmatic and elusive he was, too. That he was very quiet. There was an interview that I saw last night that was on the Today Show, probably more than 10 years ago, and or about 10 years ago, and Matt Lauer was asking him about what's going on, like, who's this person on stage versus this person who's sitting here with me, because he was quiet and not flamboyant when he was being himself. And I can't remember what his answer was, but I think that's really, I find that fascinating.
I'm sorry.
I just wanted to say one thing.
Sure, you haven't talked at all.
My favorite quote, did we mention it already? Well, it's looking at the mail, was Eric Clapton, who was asked, how does it feel to be the greatest guitar player in the world? And he said, "I don't know. Ask Prince."
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Two other things about his death that are noteworthy. He was a remarkable and ahead of his time in protecting his intellectual property, which should be noted. And I am nervous as hell that he died of flu. That's a scary thing. And we also had Patty Duke, who died of complications that might have come from flu, too.
Oh, my goodness.
So what is this? What is it? This is not a disease that you would think we should be dying of.
Well, people die from flu.
Yeah, yes. I know.
Particularly if they're in the older age groups. And like when my friends
older or younger, right?
Yeah, and yeah, very young. But when my friends get the flu, I said, "Did you get your flu shot?" And they poo-poo it and say, "Oh, you know." I said, "Well, what is it about like that you like about having the flu? You know what?" But the thing is, there's some people.
Joy about that.
Yeah, there's some people though who just they have like an aversion. To, yeah. You know, all that. And
well, doctors, yeah. You know, they're getting people to the doctor is sometimes hard. But I,
we
we'll
had
see
a
there.
Plane that stopped in the middle of a state so it could go to a hospital, remember?
Yes.
And it was dehydration. So this is a man who has access to the best of health. There's nothing that, and they can't do anything. And he's not that old.
He seems
to
be
also in great
conscious.
Shape. Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's scary.
And in the news, just for the news angle of this, is that an autopsy will be performed
yes.
today. So we should know if those results
if
are released.
The,
we'll we'll know more. You want anything?
Well, I just want to say that
yes.
You know he was. You know, I was like a full grown adult. You know, I wasn't growing up in the 70s
yeah.
and 80s, but you know he definitely had an impact. I think on all of us. I particularly love seeing his movies.
Well,
the couple of movies that he made, you know.
Purple Rain came out in 84. I was a junior, senior in high school. And I mean, I think that like movie changed my
it
life.
It was the top movie.
Yeah.
It was the top movie at the
thing.
Time. I mean, one of the articles said that he had the top ranked, you know, best-selling album, best-selling single, and movie that was number one in the nation, all at the same time with Purple Rain.
A tough upbringing, a tough life early on, and also lost a child.
I did not know that.
Yeah, which was a tragedy in his life as well. So, yeah, there was a lot to think about and a lot to mourn from the news yesterday. We'll take a break. We'll come back and we'll talk more. Rob, you're there again. Hi. We'll be right back after this short break. Good morning. Welcome back to the roundtable and to our panel discussion this morning. Very nice to have you with us. And Alan, let's go to some letters, and then we will take a break and move on to other stuff.
Lisa says, hello, Rounders. I like that. Hello, Rounders. Thank you for the appropriate acknowledgement of the musical great, although very sad. A break from the presidential election news is refreshing.
Yes, although sad that it has to come in the form of a death, but
right.
Yes.
And then Rich says, I heard a different version of the Alan story about who's the world's reference to Leo Kottke, also a great guitar player.
Yes.
And it's possible he said it about both of them.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then
you get into the top five or so. It doesn't really matter, does it?
And, I mean, I think this way you can just say he was really good.
Yeah.
And then John said, Prince and, quote, the symbol. In an interview on CBC, Canadian Broadcasting, yesterday, I heard that Prince changed his name to The Glyph, G-L-Y-P-H, for, quote, contractual reasons. I immediately thought, wait, he did it to do an end run around the recording industry's odious contracts? I was quite impressed.
Well, that's
that phrase, the artist formerly known as, entered the lexicon because of
right.
Prince.
Yeah, and because it became a symbol, and it had a lot to do with the contracts. And as you rightfully pointed out, Rosemary, he was really one of the early artists and few artists. For example, yesterday when I was deciding when I went home that I wanted to hear Prince music, and I went to my Apple Radio. Mm-mm. Well, they're not streaming. They don't stream because he had full access to all of that music and didn't allow it. And the other thing, too, just a quick aside, is that apparently the amount of music that he created that has not been released.
Oh yeah,
they say there's
no, they say one,
they call it a trove or something.
Yeah.
An album in a safe, an album a year for the next 100 years, something like that.
Yeah, and now the question is, did he ever want that released, and will it be released? But it's there, and
this is
a
like
lot
Ernest
of
Hemingway stuff. There was lots of writing that he left,
or
but none of it. Yeah, none of it, though, ever measured up to, because it didn't get that Hemingway finish and polish,
well,
and I worry about whether the same would be true of this.
Well, in the case of Kafka, you know, one of the all-time heroes, if not the most depressing, his friend was ordered to burn it all, and he didn't. He released it, and it was his greatest works. That goes on.
One more letter, Alan. Go ahead.
Okay, and then Diane says, okay, that's funny. Diane from Worcester said, New York says, Prince, solid New York City tribute. And just because this is the radio, I will tell you, it is a picture of the subway station at Prince Street.
Oh,
in New York.
And it says Prince Street Station.
Very cool.
Right, right.
We're going to take a break. When we come back, we'll continue. We'll move on to other topics. Plus, we'll have letters as well. Roundtable at WAMC.org. We'll be right back after the short break. Good morning. Welcome back to the roundtable and to our panel discussion. This morning we have stuff to get to. We'll go to a couple more letters and then we'll move on to other topics making the news. Go, Alan.
Jeff says, good morning, panel.
Good morning.
How many of you take any supplements and or vitamins? Never had the flu shot, never will. That's from Jeff.
I take them every day and I get my flu shot every year.
I take them every day. I get my flu shot. That's true. Okay. Drea says, thanks for the tribute to Prince, a truly remarkable and unique musician and performer. Okay, and then Malia, dear panelists, that was a lot of talking about Prince's possible cause of death. TMZ reported he was treated last week for opiate overdose. We don't know that. I mean, it's just that's not appropriate, and we're not going to speculate, you know, on that kind of thing.
Well, again, there will be a
autopsy.
An autopsy done.
She's saying we should wait to get the autopsy. And
well, that doesn't mean you can't. That doesn't mean you can't.
Speculate.
Well, and also, I mean, also, we're going by the information that was released, and the information that was released was that there were several shows that were canceled because of flu and flu-like symptoms, which were also corroborated by the authorities at the time. So I don't, you know, it's the information that we have at the moment.
Believe it or not, Joe, that's what I got.
Okay, let's go to other stories making news today, and we will talk politics, of course. Now that this is one of these stories that I don't know why I hadn't really quite thought of, but of course this is a perfectly rational thing to think about. I just don't know why I didn't think about it. As the Republican presidential race heads toward a possible contested convention, the three remaining candidates have begun considering vice presidential picks with a much different set of calculations from a normal political year. Separate but simultaneous vetting processes are underway. Advisors to Senator Ted Cruz of Texas and Ohio Governor John Kasich said they are developing a list of prospects and researching their backgrounds. They are leaving open the possibility of announcing running mates as early as June when primary voting concludes, or waiting until July at the Republican National Convention.
Well, here's the deal. This becomes a very strategic calculation to make. So, in other words, let's say you're Donald Trump and you walk into the convention and you're 50 votes short.
Right.
You may well want to name one of the guys, Marco Rubio, to him, little Marco, or
Jeb Bush,
or well, but somebody who has developed some
heft.
No, some votes of their own.
That's what you.
Political heft.
Political heft. But I'm
not
saying
like Chris Christie.
So that you're walking in, you got a handful of votes. You can then say, I want all my people to vote for the Donald, and then the Donald wins. That's a good reason for him to name somebody in the beginning. The other guys don't want to do it because they want to leave things open for a number of different reasons. The guy that everybody's looking at, obviously, is John Kasich, because you can't win if you're a Republican if you don't bring in Ohio. And I just have to look where my elbow is.
Yeah, no, and the one thing that he has proven is that he can deliver Ohio.
Yeah, he can do that. And he's saying, no, I'm not going to do it. No, I'm not going to do it. But that is like somebody who hasn't been invited to the prom. I'm not going to the prom until you're invited to the prom, you know. Mm-hmm. Then you do it.
But meanwhile, he still thinks if you have these three candidates who are walking into this convention thinking that they have a shot.
Yes.
at least one with a fairly legitimate shot, and two maybe long shots, but still say, okay, the person that I then associate myself with could help me in wrangling the delegates that I need in the second, third, fourth ballots.
And let's remember that JFK and Lyndon Johnson hated each other's guts. Nevertheless, when it comes to politics, you do what's expedient in a particular situation, and that's exactly what JFK did. And I have a feeling if that's the way that Trump's going to win this thing, then he's going to do it.
So Kasich's shortlist include Marco Rubio and Scott Walker.
Sure.
Barbara's shaking her head.
But why? And then Cruz and his advisors are preparing for many contingencies, and say they could select a running mate to attempt to alter the psychology of the race.
See, I think Cruz is delusional, and here's why, because I think that Cruz thinks if he keeps it as an open convention, right? He gives it as an open convention, he's going to win because he was there and because he ran for office and because he was number two. Nonsense. If it's an open convention, they're going to find somebody besides Cruz who they all despise who can win.
Meanwhile, back in Washington, the RNC chairman said that he is open to the he said in an interview that an open convention could affect the timing of a vice presidential nomination, and said that he would be open to delaying formal proceedings to afford the nominee time to negotiate or make a decision.
Yeah.
It's interesting that this is about the only time a vice president is important.
Well, Lyndon Johnson and Kennedy. If Kennedy hadn't been able to deliver to get Texas, he would have been out of the race. I don't know. I mean, I think this could be terribly important in the same way I thought that McCain and Sarah Palin was just off the charts. It was such a stupid nomination.
I thought it was interesting that this article that we've read to start this discussion over.
From the Washington Post, if anybody wants to check it out.
Yes, from the Post. Includes the guy who did all the vetting of Sarah Palin.
Yeah.
It's like, oh,
yes.
Yeah, there's an expert.
His mea culpa. Yeah.
Oops. So, Rosemary, you have not said a lot on this. Are you?
I also, the article only does the Republican side. There was movement in the Democratic side, too, with a rumor, a report leaked, who knows, out of the Clinton camp that she might pick Elizabeth Warren, which I think, Alan, you've already opined on this. That's ridiculous. That's not going to happen.
Yeah, it's called balancing the ticket.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what we were talking about in relationship to the Republicans, and that's why you think about it and they think about it so carefully, that is the candidates in their camps, because you have to figure out how to balance the ticket and what you're going to get. The first woman who has a shot at being the president of the United States putting another woman on, what you thought?
Well, I think the problem for Elizabeth Warren, who's my senator and who I think is great.
Love her, yeah.
Yeah, is great, is that she's to the left of everybody. In order to win an election in the United States, you got to get the center.
Well, you certainly have that with Hillary.
Right. You got to get the center. On the other hand, Barbara, in the back of my mind are all these people who are writing me letters, including today, saying, I will never vote for that woman. I'm not going to vote for her because she's corporate, because she took the money, because she did this and that. You got Elizabeth Warren, those people are going to vote for that ticket.
Yeah, that's interesting, because I was thinking about balancing on the level of give them a white man so they can feel comfortable.
Well,
and the thing is that you're thinking about balancing on the level
I will throw in geography. They're both from the Northeast.
No,
there's
Northeast.
All kinds of reasons that's off balance.
Actually, I'm not. I'm not really thinking that way. I think what I first said is correct, that she has to go find somebody who will bring in parts of the country that you ordinarily would have to contest.
Because either way, you're going to have, if it is Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump, which we don't know, but if it is, two New Yorkers. So, I mean, your geography has to play a part in that, right?
It usually has.
So, could you just reiterate this, Alan? You said that you were right, and that she has to find someone who can win other parts of the country. Is that what you said?
Yeah.
I mean,
in other words, she has to find somebody who will give you value added, to the ticket.
So you weren't talking about Elizabeth Warren at that point then?
No. I'm talking about Hillary. I'm talking about Hillary. Hillary has to make a choice, which she will, which will be, who am I going to find who will bring me an Ohio or bring me, you know, one of these, or Florida, for example?
Oh, no, Warren is not an unabashed fan of Hillary's. She did not pick a favorite in the run-up to the Democratic nomination, but she certainly philosophically is closer to Bernie Sanders than she ever has been to Hillary, with whom she's clashed. So on many levels, it just doesn't seem like a real report to me.
And with keeping in mind what Alan has said over and over again, that you know what people say at this time doesn't mean a whole lot, but
she has
said that she would not take it from anybody because she wants to stay.
Paul Ryan statement,
right?
So Nancy says for Hillary, it's simple: Castro of Texas. That's the name that keeps coming up again and again and again.
That's exactly what I was thinking.
Which
one, though?
That's right. You have a choice of both brothers. One's in Congress. One's cabinet, yeah.
Now, we have a few more letters on this, and then we can move on to other stuff.
Al Franken has been suggested. That sounds like a great idea. Well, it may be a great idea for you, but I don't think it's going to help.
No, it doesn't make sense.
No, it doesn't. It doesn't.
And then, how about Bill Richardson or one of the Castro brothers for Hillary's vice? Can anybody remember what happened to Bill Richardson?
Was the governor of New Mexico. Yeah. He was also in the Clinton administration for a long period of time. He ran into some some money troubles and some questionable dealings, and he ran for president when Kerry ran. So that was 2004. And quickly went out of the race, and was unable to get much support and traction. And since then, I believe has been, and somebody can correct me on this if I'm wrong, and I'll check it while we go to the next letter. But I believe has been in the private sector since. So I don't know how much help he would do anyone.
Well, the point really is that you have to vet him. And if it turns out that the cloud that floated over at the time was significant, that would make him out. So Barbara says, Warren is the same age as Clinton, late 60s. You cannot have two people that age. Why not? Okay. So there is...
Because we're dying off at 57, Princess Alice.
Yeah, that's right. It's got its thinking down.
Well, yeah, but here I am. I'm old, really old.
You can't be vice president either.
If nominated, I will not accept. And you want to know why? I ain't saying. But there are some bumps in the road.
Do you have the one from Joan there? That's another
Joan,
interesting one, too.
Joan. Oh, yeah, okay.
Oh, that's Jones. Yeah, that's
Someone
Jones.
Had suggested Barbara Lee
representative from California.
Yeah, right.
13th Congressional District.
Who's been making the rounds and has been a surrogate and is very articulate and incredibly, I think, quite a force of nature.
I like her. I've liked her ever since. I think she voted against the first Iraq War, right?
And she is also quite a, she's also very good on the gun issue. As far as being articulate on that issue.
Still hearing from some Bernieites.
Okay.
Big New York Times article, How Hillary Became a Hawk, citing her pro-war stance. New Yorkers just missed a huge chance to embrace campaign finance reform by supporting Bernie. Hillary is supporting the merchants of arms and the military-industrial complex Eisenhower warned us about, not to mention bankism and big pharma. And that's from Doug from Stone Ridge. And Walker says, while a VP pick that is to the left of Hillary like Sanders or Warren, I honestly think someone like Cory Booker would be her pick.
Well, it is New Jersey. It is, too, from the Northeast.
What do you think of Cory Booker? No.
I see the advantage.
I was very interested in him when he was mayor.
Yeah.
Of Newark.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, the big advantage of Cory Booker.
Watched all the documentaries because there were two, I think, and just really was interested.
But now?
Not as interested.
Well, one of the reasons that, I mean, we're talking now as we would be if we were in the back room making these decisions, in the war room making these decisions. One of the reasons that Cory Booker would be helpful, I'm just saying this for the point of discussion, is that a lot of people who were of color came out in the Obama election. And you don't want to lose that this time.
She's, but everything says that she's doing very well with people of color.
Who is?
Hillary.
Well,
on
she
her
is.
Own. On
but,
her own.
Well.
But that, well, you're saying that that could shift it even more so.
Yeah. Well, you know, I mean, it takes a lot to get a young person out. We know demographically. Mm-hmm. I'm not trying to insult anybody here. Believe mm-hmm. me, I'm not. But it takes a lot to get anybody out who is young. And so there are certain things you do to get them out. There are certain things you do to get African-Americans out or Hispanics. So this is the kind of calculation that they're thinking about right now.
Right, right. Well, as you say often, we'll have to wait and see.
Or stay tuned, Preet Bharara.
Stay tuned.
That's right.
Yes.
Real quick before we go to a break, Bill Richardson, Bill Richardson currently is in the private sector, but he and also is... Was up for Commerce, Secretary of Commerce. President Obama had floated his name, and he withdrew his name because a federal grand jury mm-hmm. was investigating a pay-to-play allegation. The New mm-hmm. York Times had reported that, and he withdrew his name. And then later on was also there were allegations of corruption. So just to clarify that.
And David DeSantis, in your magic machine, maybe you can help us with this, Joe. David DeSantis said Senator Nelson, very popular from Florida for VP. He was very popular. I just don't know how old he is.
He is was born in 1942.
So he's my age, a year younger than me. In other words, 74.
And he's serving with Marco Rubio currently.
And what about the rumor that she'll just keep Joe Biden?
Yeah, that is a rumor, isn't it?
I think it's possible.
He's in his 70s, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, oh yeah. Mm-hmm. But I've been thinking about him. He's extraordinarily popular now in the United States. He wasn't always, but now he is. And I kept thinking about the constitutional issues, but I don't think there's a constitutional prohibition that he can't serve more than
popular and lovable.
Two terms. Yeah. And puts his foot, and like Trump, he puts his foot.
And I have to say, unlike her.
Yeah.
Because her favorables are really low,
yeah.
right?
Yeah, well, that's true. Mm-hmm. That's true.
He also knows how to work Congress, which mm-hmm. is kind of an important thing that Obama used him for.
And I don't know, and we really do have to go to a break, but it just seems to me, and certainly historians will look at this as we go on, but in the writing of history, in the current writing of history, this seems to be one of the closest presidential, vice presidential relationships that
yeah,
we have seen
absolutely
in almost, you know, several generations.
No question. They really are partners.
They're very much partners. They like each other and respect each other.
Really nice to see.
And friends. And yeah. You don't, that's not usually the story you hear.
No.
And it didn't start out that way because Joe Biden was running for president in 2008
right.
and made a remark about how he seemed like he was a clean and likable person.
Clean-cut, articulate man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's like,
I felt sorry for Biden in that. I think that was another case where the press jumps on the actual words without the content, the meaning, the intention. And Obama was not offended.
But
right.
He may not have been offended, but a lot of
we
white people who've heard those
yeah, those words
kinds of words before,
thing.
You know, exceptional Negro, in other words.
Yeah. Well, you know, actually, I got on Facebook a comment about Barbara Smith is great. Bring her back on. And I started writing it. I was going to say, God, she's so... Oh, my God, don't say articulate. So it was like, eloquent.
Eloquent. I'll
yeah.
take it.
You have, to,
take
you,
it.
Have to be, you have to be really careful.
Stacey wants Eric Holder, by the way.
Oh, all right. Well, certainly a surrogate for Hillary Clinton. We're desperately late for a break. We'll go take a break. We'll come back and we'll finish up. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC. Let's talk a little bit as we just have about 6 minutes left. We've been talking a lot about Hillary Clinton, but there is still this story that I sent regarding Bernie Sanders and the hard path that he is admitting and saying in interviews now that the hard path to the nomination, and then bringing up the question as to what exactly he's looking to do now. And he has he in the NBC interview, portions of which were broadcast on Nightly News on Thursday, Sanders said that his path to the nomination is not realistic, but added, "It's a hard path. I admit that." He said it's not unrealistic, but added, "It's a hard path. I admit that." Asked by correspondent Andrea Mitchell if he will concede and endorse Clinton if he hasn't secured a majority of pledged delegates before the convention, Sanders said, "Look, if we do not have a majority, it's going to be hard for us to win."
Well, yeah, to say the least.
So, I mean, do you think this is the is this the beginning of the end?
Well, no, I think he's going to go into the convention. He's going to mobilize the convention and just talk about his causes. He's my age. I was 73, 74 years old. It's his last shot. He makes a lasting contribution that way. They march around with the signs. Maybe they even give him some FaceTime on there. But then he's going to turn around and he's going to work for Hillary.
I think Hillary is right to not count her chickens before the eggs are hatched, that he should not be written off in states coming up, including Pennsylvania and California. Mm-hmm. I think that he is now positioned as this great underdog, and that can only help him. And that this discussion is way early. It's just a bunch of speculation by the part of pundits, and it's not real yet.
Can I just read a letter, Joe, if
it's
all right, from Nan, who says, "Alan, I floated the idea of Biden to you months ago, and you said it ain't going to happen. Now, I want to quote Al D'Amato, that sage of philosopher, who, when asked by a reporter how come he changed his mind on something, he said, and that was then, and this is now." And so I would make that whole point. That is
well.
Then.
Also, yeah. Also, I believe in the if I'm not misrepresenting this. At that time, when we were talking about that, we were talking about Joe Biden coming in and being the nominee.
Yes. Well, that we did. We did it. But people have written in and said, "What about Joe Biden as the nominee?" And I don't know that Joe Biden would want it, to be honest.
Now, are we talking VP or president?
VP. We're talking about both.
Okay.
I mean, here's a guy. He's had a distinguished and wonderful career, been there, done that. Does he want to be VP for another 8 years?
He's quite a player. He's been in Washington a long time. He has a whole new initiative to fund cancer research. Yeah. I can see him wanting this.
Yeah, it's possible. You're right.
Yeah, and from all information that we have, he is close to Hillary Clinton, right? I mean, there is a friendship there.
Yes.
Yeah.
I'd
like to see John Kerry continue as Secretary of State. I think he's a far better Secretary of State than Hillary ever
he's been
was.
Very
if
good.
She ever gets to make that decision, that might be a good position.
And they have
to
go
continue.
And run the ketchup company. I don't know, but
I think his wife is probably capable of that.
Oh, absolutely! I wouldn't doubt that for a single second. And Rich said Todd Kominsky. Remember him, mm-hmm. Mel Brooks' grand nephew, who won by 600 votes. Apparently,
well, no Republican is willing to cede that yet.
The head of the organization said it looks like he's going to win. But anyway, the first of a number of New York State Democrats who will overturn the Republicans. Better days for citizens are coming. That is from Rich. Well, don't hold your breath, because there are several things. Remember the traitors, the five guys, the Democrats who sold out mm-hmm. for their pieces of gold and went over to the Republicans and caucus with
them?
Even
here in this,
yeah, in the state
New York
Senate.
State.
Then that's where Kominsky is right. They're not going to change. They're apparently not going to change. And that all has to do with Andrew. Does Andrew Cuomo let them go and do that, or tell him to do that? That's what it has to do.
Tell me again what the advantages.
Okay,
sorry.
Go ahead.
What the
Real
advantages
quick.
To the governor of having a Republican?
He and his papa Mario always believed that the Republicans would take the onus off of him to do more and more progressive things, since he's a centrist rightist governor. Mario could pose it better than he could, but that's what the advantage is, and I know that's what he's feeling.
We are out of time. My thanks to everybody who wrote in, and of course thanks to our panelists. Hope you all have a beautiful weekend, and we will be back with more program after this short break.